Welcome, everyone, to the Living Oneness Gathering. I am your host, Sue Dume, and it's an honor to be here once again with everyone as we join together and unite our hearts with the intention of global unification, really bringing us all together to heal all the ways that we've forgotten the truth of who we are and to heal all our blocks to love within ourselves and between each other, and to remember our oneness, to remember that we are all connected. For me, living oneness is a way of being in life. It can be a practice, but it's a way of being. It's about how you show up and the energy you hold and the frequency you hold in every moment of every day. So it's not just when you show up here participating in uniting us in love for each other and our planet and remembering our oneness. It's about bringing what you learn here or what you experience here into practice, into your life classroom, so that it extends out and it becomes more of an ongoing way of being. The way we have been programmed is that we're separate and we're programmed based on fear, separation, and it's been a valuable experience to experience our separateness from our source, to experience and witness our source within each other and all of creation. The challenges over the years is that we've forgotten that we're all connected and we've been programmed to judge what we see on the outside and to feel that that wound of separation has gotten bigger and it's festering and it's become really traumatic for a lot of people. So there's a wound of separation we have within ourselves, and that biggest wound is actually our separation from source, or our belief that we are separate from our source, our belief that we are separate from our higher self, God, whatever word feels resonant for you. The word is less important than the meaning you place. So if I use a word that has a different meaning and it doesn't resonate for you, exchange that word. These words can be interchangeable based on what you need that word to be, because it's the meaning we place on the words that really help us connect to the message or help us align with what we are meant to do and what we're meant to practice. When we reflect on the idea of living oneness, what we're really choosing to do is heal our blocks to love and heal that wound of separation within ourselves, so we can experience a sense of oneness within ourselves. But when we also want to remember the experience of oneness with all of creation, and we can have that experience with nature, we can have that experience with a creature, an animal, something that seems innocent and vulnerable. Where it becomes more challenging to remember our oneness is when there's conflict or there's turmoil or resistance on the outside, or there can be more of an experience of confliction or differences. There's a difference between honoring our differences and judging our differences. And when we can honor our differences, we can still feel that deep connection that we have to all of creation, to each other, even if we're different, even if we have different beliefs, even if we have different backgrounds, even if we have different color of skin or different appearance, we can still feel connected. It's that filter of judgment that adds another depth of separation. And that's that gaping wound that we're all really feeling right now. And it's a collective wound. It's a collective trauma that has been in place for a long time, but it festers more or it becomes more infected when it's injected with more and more judgment, with more fear, with more guilt, shame, projection. So today we're going to look at the experience of oneness within ourselves, the experience of oneness with all of creation, by lifting that filter of judgment, lifting those filters of and programming of fear and guilt and obligation and all the things that come along with the experience of being human or having a human experience. The intention is to be able to embrace our human experience, to embrace our humanness, to embrace our human life classroom. We're not going to deny it. We're not going to judge it. We're not going to push it away. We're not going to meditate and stay away from it. The goal is to actually be in the human experience and embody our divinity at the same time. It's both, it's not one or the other. A lot of people will have experiences where you have kind of swing from one to the other. It's about finding that middle way. And in that middle way, we can actually be within our human experience, our human life classroom, heal our blocks to love, heal the ways that we've been programmed with fear and guilt and separation, heal that wound of separation within us and around us, within our communities and beyond, and embody our divinity, where we're so fully embodied by our divine essence that we become beacons for love or messengers of love. And we become tuning forks for love, for compassion, for empathy, for our divine nature. When enough of us align with that and hold steady in that, so it's not just about come to the Living Oneness Gathering and then go home and erase everything that happened or forget about what happened here. It's take it with you and be the tuning forks in your life, be the messengers, be the beacons of light, be the presence of divinity, and allow it to animate you through your humanness. Allow it to animate you through your words, through your gestures, through your eyes, through your every aspect of you. That for me, that's what living oneness is. And that's what heart-led living is as well. It's being able to fully embody the message and be the frequency of that message and let that be the signal that you put out into the universe and let that be the energy signal or message that you put out when you're in the room or in the space with others. All of us have had an experience where we feel sensitive. We walk into a room and we can feel something. You can get a sense that something went down and maybe not something so great. You can walk into a room and go, whoa, something really heavy happened here. Like maybe there was a big argument or something that happened, or everybody's not maybe in a workplace where no one's really cohesive or coherent. It's not a coherent group. So there's discord and energy. If something feels off in the room, then you can walk into another room and you can feel the unity, the connection, the anticipation, the excitement, the joy, whatever it is. We don't even have to have words, and we can already feel and experience what's happening in that space. When we're approaching things or witnessing things from a perspective of energy, I like to blend spirituality and science. But if we approach everything from a place of energy, we're all energy, everything's energy, all of creation is energy. If we approach it from a place of energy, your energy field is communicating with the energy field of everything around you, whether you realize it or not. And when our energy field is clear and clean and expanded and resonance, meaning in harmony, in sync with our divinity, then we are sending that message out into the environment around us. Before we even enter a room, our energy is already in that space, reaching into that space and feeling what's happening, sensing what's going on. So not only do we send information out, but we receive information as well. We have that biofeedback from our energy field all the time. Many people have heard of EMF, and most people hear of EMF as a negative thing. It's harmful rays or microwave radiation or electromagnetic field of a computer or a cell phone, all those kinds of things. Big power towers, all those kinds of things. We talk about EMF. We're talking about harmful EMFs. There's supportive EMFs. There's natural EMFs, electromagnetic field. That's what it is. We all have an electromagnetic field. In fact, everything in creation has an electromagnetic field. A rock, a tree, an animal, a person, a planet, the sun, the moon. Everything has an electromagnetic field, and it creates a field around us where the energy flows in all directions. So it's 360 degrees above and below and all around us. And we have a channel that it runs through. And I talk about the toroidal field and the electromagnetic field a little bit more in the Healer's Toolbox. But for this moment, I just want you to understand that there is an electromagnetic field around you. That's why you could go and stand by a tree and feel peaceful, feel restful, or feel grounded. There's certain trees that I call receptor trees and transmitter trees, meaning they actually submit to transmit information into the field. And when your energy field is near the energy field, the electromagnetic energy field of a tree, you can sync with it, and it can sync with you. And most trees are in resonance. Most trees are just naturally in resonance. So the energy of the tree is in harmony with the environment around it. So to go and sit by a tree in nature, in a forest, allows your energy field to be harmonized and sync. This can happen with people too. That's why when people come and they sit beside me, even if they don't know me, they're like, you're just so grounding. I get different feedback, but most of it is it just feels so grounded or peaceful around me. So I am holding the frequency. It's a natural frequency for me. I'm about grounding and peace and calm for the most part. I have my human moments, but that's the effect I have on people. Other people are real sparks of joy, and that's the effect they have on other people. So, my invitation is for you to recognize that in every moment, your energy field is communicating with the energy field of everything around you. So, what message do you want to send? What frequency do you want to hold and then send out into the world? Is it one of anger, resentment, frustration, irritation? Or would you prefer to hold the frequency of love, compassion, empathy, peace? Whatever word resonates with you. And that word can be different each day. So you could hold the frequency of peace one day, and the next day you're like, today I'm going to show up as love. And the next day you could hold the frequency of a smile, and whatever that smile means, you'll see it reflected back on you from creation as well, from different individuals and different experiences. So as you rest your eyes closed, if you haven't already, I want you to sink into recognizing and being open to shining light on what is your frequency set point? What do you tend to land in as a set point? And then that can be different from what your intention is in each day. So we can have the intention of showing up as love, but the set point might be just stress or anxious or worry or irritation or restlessness. So just tune into and really take an honest scan of your field and your body, your heart and your mind. Just really feel into what is my set point? What is the default setting that I revert back to? And often our set point in our default setting is related to our upbringing and our programming and the conditioning of the environment around us. Now, once we recognize and identify what that set point or default setting is, it's then with awareness that we can make a different choice. We can say, okay, this set point of peace is good. Now, how can I amplify that? What practices can I bring in, or what different things can I do throughout the day that can amplify that? And if your default setting is more one of anxiety or restlessness or irritation, maybe even for some people right now, they'll feel angry a lot. And some people don't even know why they feel so angry. Sometimes it's because you're picking up on the collective energy, which is the energy of people around you or the collective field, collective consciousness. Last week, we talked about the morphic field and creating a new morphic field. But we're sensitive to that morphic field, that collective consciousness. So if you're plugged into a collective consciousness that is built on poverty, lack, limitation, worry, fear, anger, frustration, irritation, all those kinds of things can be morphic fields that we've plugged into or we've been taught to plug into on some level, subconsciously. When we have an awareness that our default setting is something that we do not wish to put out into the world and we do not wish to embody, then and only then, when we have that awareness, can we start to shift it. So, in this moment, we're going to accept what your default setting is. Start with acceptance. Awareness, acceptance. It is what it is, and it's been what it's been, but it doesn't have to stay that way. I can make a choice, I can do something different about this. You can either change it, shift it, or amplify it. And sometimes when we start to change the default setting, it's a default setting for a reason. It's a knee-jerk default. So sometimes, even if we want to change it, we find ourselves back there. The key is when you find yourself back in your reset point, your default setting, do not judge it. Don't judge yourself and don't judge where you are. There's a moment you judge yourself and where you are. You add fear to the mix. And judgment is a form of resistance. You're resisting what is, you're judging what is. So, as we take a deep breath and we let go of the judgment of our default setting, let's practice acceptance. It is what it is. I am where I am. We can shift into appreciation. I'm grateful to have an awareness of my default setting, and I'm curious and I'm willing to shift it. And as you take a deep breath, just bring your awareness into the space in which you feel that the default setting is coming from. Where is that set point within you, within your body, within your energy field, maybe within your mind, or maybe in a couple different places? Feel the energy of the old way of being. And breathe through that. Remember, we're in that space of acceptance and awareness. And you may even get a sense or some insight as to why it's in place. Perhaps it's been program there or you implemented it somewhere along the way as a child to protect yourself, to keep you safe. Maybe it served in some way. Maybe it was a coping mechanism. Maybe it was the best you could do at the time, and that's okay. The best you could do with the awareness that you had. But now, as we shine light there and increase our understanding and increase our awareness, we can accept it and we can make a conscious choice to shift it. So asking yourself, how is this default setting serving me? How has it benefited me? Not always a positive benefit, but a benefit in the way of coping or keeping you safe and protected. And how is it holding me back? When I ask these questions, my invitation is for you to go with the first thing that pops in. It's usually your intuition speaking. So the first thing that pops into your awareness is usually your divine giving you the answer, your divine guide, your divine self. Now let's explore. Ask the question, see what pops in. How is this set point feeding my wound of separation? An example of that would be our fear of love. A lot of times people are afraid to love because they're afraid to be hurt. Some people are afraid to love because they're afraid to lose somebody. If they love them, the more they love them, the more it hurts when they lose them. The fear of loss. I want you to imagine that you could take all of what you learned, all of the awareness you gained, and put it on a plate in front of you or put it in a bowl of forgiveness. We're going to forgive it over. We're not pushing it away, trying to get rid of it. We're putting it in a bowl with the intention of forgiving it over to our divinity and creating space within us to have another perspective, another experience, another way of being. So we're offering the old way of being over and any of the programming that goes along with that. And we're opening up to a new way of being. Now, as we offer it over, some may feel a sense of loss and grief in letting go. So just honor that if that comes up. Because in some ways, this set point has served you, supported you. Maybe it's been a reliable friend, confidant. It's often comforting because we have a relationship with it. So the invitation is to let it go fully, a full let go. Take some deep breaths into the space it creates. And then invite a new perspective. And let that new perspective come in whatever way it needs to. It might be an energy, it might be a vision, a color, a feeling, sensation. It could be a vision or even a memory recall, and which invokes a an experience or feeling. And if your mind is grasping and seeking and searching, you can just use the words, I wonder what this new way of being would feel like. I wonder what this new way of being is meant to be and look like. Wonderment creates a curious mind, opens up space to receive. And not only does this default set point, especially if it's conditioned or under the umbrella of fear, and fear is a big umbrella, boredom is even under fear, there's a lot under fear. As we lift this and place it in that forgiveness bowl, we create an opening to feel that divine connection to our divine self. So, just to paint an understanding in the mind, this is one perspective. There's source, pure, clear, clean source from the energy from which we all come, source of all creation. And then there's our divine self or soul, which is a unique expression of divinity that holds all memory and experiences of all our lifetimes or experiences across the board. And then there's our human self. A further, more focused expression of our divinity in this human avatar. So we have our one source, shared source, our unique expression of source, which becomes our divine self individually, and then a further individuation, which becomes our human self. So our divine self becomes a bridge between our source, which is pure, and our human self, which is having all of these experiences and experiencing the contrast and the duality here in this human life classroom. It's experiencing the duality of love and fear. It's experiencing the contrast. So, when we connect to our divine self as a guide, our divine self becomes the bridge, guiding and leading us based on all of our experiences as a soul being, guiding us and directing us in the moment. And it's always in support of our own evolution, our individual evolution. Our individual experiences, as well as the collective. And more so now, the collective is coming into the equation. So our divine self orchestrates everything on our behalf and behalf of all creation. But our divine self is first and foremost informing our human self. Your divine self is informing your human self. My divine self is informing my human self. And that contributes to and informs the collective as well, all of creation. I'm going to invite a feeling of your connection, a stronger connection to your soul, your divine source, your divine self, I should say. Keep that word, divine self, with a capital S. Some people will call this the higher self or the lower self. Again, they're just words to try and bridge the feeling and experience. It's more important to connect to the feeling and the experience than get caught up on the words. But if a word hooks you and it becomes a place, a point of resistance, then change the word. There you go, beautiful. Now imagine that your divine self is the bridge, but also your heart is the bridge. So the space of the heart can hold that connection and it receives messages without the filter in the mind. It can bring in the intuitive guidance and become in the internal GPS without interference, without filters, without programming, without resistance. So imagine that your divine self had a direct line to your heart. Most of us are taught to ask our divine self and receive at the level of the mind, which is in, we think is in the head, which we talked last week, and we understand that it's not just in our head. The mind is not just in the head, but this is what happens. We bring the guidance into our mind, we think about it, and then maybe it gets to the heart. But usually by the time it gets to the heart, if we filter it through the mind, it's already shifted, or it's already been limited. Whereas if you imagine your divine self has a direct connection to your heart, or even resides within your heart, that's more of the soul embodiment. It resides within the heart, but it's not limited by the physical space of the heart. It resides within us, but it's not limited by the physical experience of the body or the energy field. Our divine self is eternal and boundless, limitless. So as it communicates within your heart space, feel the connection, feel the oneness with your divine self. And as you invite that feeling, sometimes it might feel like it's bumping up against some density, or it's got some, like there's clutter in the space. Invite the clutter to clear, invite things to process, invite the energy to be folded in, to be processed, to be honored, to be witnessed, to be felt and healed. A lot of that energy can go down and out, or it can go up and out through the crown. And if we lift the crown center off the top of our head, like lifting a hat up and off to about a foot off the top of the head, we can create some space to process between the first and seven layers of the energy field. 1 to 7 layers, those first 7 layers. When it's not so squished, we can process a little easier on the physical and the emotional level here, and even the mental level. Take some more deep breaths. So in your humanness, feeling that connection to your heart, and in your heart, feeling that connection to your divine self, and in that divine self space, feeling a connection now to your source, the one source that we all share. And soften and let yourself expand into that experience. And invite it to amplify a little bit more for some of you. And if there's any resistance where the mind is kind of holding you back or trying to figure it out, you can just ask, what if it was easy to connect to my divine self? What if it was easy to connect to that one source, the one source, feel that connection to oneness? Even if it's just a little bit. And as that oneness comes pouring in whatever way you're capable or ready or willing to receive it, let it meet the wounds of separation and let it be a healing presence for those spaces, those wounds, like a beautiful soothing lotion that touches and heals those wounds. It meets those wounds with love, with pure divine love. Not human love, pure divine essence. Once we let that energy expand within and around us in whatever way that we're capable of allowing it in this moment. And if you're only capable of allowing it a little bit, that's okay. Celebrate that. And if you're capable of allowing it more another time, then celebrate that. There's no right or wrong way. It's just whatever's possible, whatever you feel capable of, whatever aspect of yourself that's resisting, whatever aspect of yourself that's willing to soften and just let go of the resistance and let go of the fear and sink into the experience to whatever capacity you can. Honor and celebrate that. Some energy trying to rise in some of you. So some of you are trying to send it down or wanting it to go down with gravity. And I feel like some of it wants to go up. So I often will experience it either like a drain of water going down or a geyser shooting water going up and out. So just let the energy, because it has a beautiful innate intelligence. It knows what it needs to do in order to harmonize and come back into resonance. It knows where it needs to go in order to do that as well. So sometimes it needs to clear from our field in order to be transmuted. Some energy is transmuted down through the grounding cord and into the earth because Mother Earth can take it and reuse it, transmute it, and change it, shift it in a way that it would serve. And then some energy needs to be released out through the top of our head, through the top of the crown, and the top of the energy field out into the ethers, into that layer of oneness where it can be transmuted. Other energy may need to be released and then quarantined until it can be harmonized and balanced. There we go. Beautiful. And at the same time, some energy just finds a little way, like a mouse out the side of the body, down the arm and out the finger, or comes out through the side of the body, or comes out through one leg or the knee, just inviting any of the energy that is discordant, that's not harmonized, or it's out of balance, Meet it with love. Invite it to harmonize. Invite it to balance. And then give it permission to clear from your field or from your body to be folded in, maybe even folded into a beautiful recipe of love. I'm just getting this beautiful image of like divine source coming in like a beautiful white fountain of light. And I see it coming in through the crown and into the heart space and everyone. So just being open to receive that. Your unique recipe, whatever's needed for you at this time. And it's pouring in through the top of your crown into your heart. And from your heart, it just flows in all directions wherever it's needed. Like filling you from the inside, through the body, all the way in and around your cells. All the spaces in between and around your body. And imagine this beautiful liquid source, which represents your oneness, your remembrance of your oneness, your experience of your oneness, the essence of you as one with all of creation. Let it flow through your body. And then opening your heart, opening your mind, opening your whole energy field, all of your beingness. And feel your set point changing. Feel the invitation for a new way of being. And as you tune into your heart and tap into your divine self for guidance, for insight, asking, what is my new way of being? What new way of being am I to embody and invite and emanate? Trusting the first feeling or words that come in, and then saying yes to it. Yes, thank you. Yes, I'm willing. Yes, to the embodiment. Anytime you catch yourself not breathing or your breath goes shallow, that's a space that you're bumping into that's fear. So meeting the fear, inviting the breath, and inviting that fear to be honored, to be witnessed, to be processed. Some deep breaths. And with each breath, feel more and more alignment, more and more attunement with the energy of your new set point, this new way of being. And setting intention to resist the need to judge and simply shift to an observation. Should your old set point try and come back online or show up again or come in as habit, or the ego might pull it back in as a way to keep you playing small because it's trying to protect you, like a overprotective helicopter parent. Just recognizing that you can meet many parts of you that are hanging on to the old way. You can meet them with love, with compassion, with tenderness, with patience, with encouragement and an invitation to let go of the old and lean into the new. To say yes to a new way of being. And feel that energy from the inside, from that source point within your heart, expanding out in all directions, filling your body, your mind, and your energy field as much as it's capable of receiving and allowing. And if there's any spaces that are feeling resistant, just fold around them. Surround them with a beautiful blanket of it without judgment. Remain gentle. And recognize that those parts within you that are still holding on to fear, or those parts within you that are still resisting, they don't need to hold you back in this moment. They don't need to hold you back. You can fully embody and surround those aspects of yourself with a tender blanket of love. Knowing that eventually, ultimately, all aspects of yourself, all aspects of your humanness will come into harmony and balance, will come into resonance with this new way of being, remembering your oneness with all that is, all that was, and all that will ever be. And although we will still continue to be a unique individual expression of the divine, we can do that and we can remember that we are one, that we are all connected. Take some deep breaths. Inviting this feeling to continue to be integrated as deeply as possible. Inviting your cells and your body and your systems to assimilate this new way of being so it becomes a new set point, a new potential to hold steady in. I'm going to invite a grounding in this new way of being. So, feeling that connection between your feet and that electromagnetic field of the earth. Feeling the harmony between this new way of being, your physicality. So, on a frequency level, on a physical level, and then that connection with the earth. And then opening your heart to the blessing. Hand on your heart to receive if you feel comfortable. May you continue to allow this full embodiment of your divine essence to land, and fill and illuminate all of your beingness. May all aspects of your human self align with the aspects of your divine self that serve you in a way that you can remember the truth of who you are, that you can fully embody the truth of who you are. May you be a beacon of light, a messenger of love. A vibrational tuning fork for your unique divine expression. And may you allow your divinity to animate you in your humanness in every moment. And when you forget, you forgive. And when you remember, you celebrate. And so it is. A thymus thump if you'd like. Yes, thank you. Three times. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. And so it is. Slowly bring your awareness back. Bringing that embodiment with you, remembering that you're not separate. You don't have to leave that space and come back to somewhere else. It's not separate from you. It's about keeping the connection, holding it as best you can. And as you come back to the space, and when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Sometimes when you open your eyes, you feel like you've lost it a little bit, but trust me, you didn't lose it. We just, the moment you had opened your eyes, you added a little filter. So it may have looked a little further from you, but it's just a little filter that came in place. So if you feel inspired, you can share in the chat your experience, what you're feeling, how you're feeling now. Maybe even it's just one word or a couple words, how you're feeling. The experience or impact you had, feel free to share. So, the more we practice this, so whether you keep showing up with the live experiences and contributing that way, or whether you listen back to the replays and experience it over and over again, it's a practice for you to remember. And there's so much in our environment that will cause us to forget and to kind of remind us that we're make us believe we're separate. So anything you can do to bring yourself into this remembrance, and the word I got and the embodiment I felt today was deep reverence. I get deep remembrance and reverence a lot, but reverence came in for me really strongly. It's like be in reverence to everything. Everything and everyone I come in contact with. And to embody that in my humanness is the invitation. So for you, whatever you received, if there's a word or a feeling or sensation, find a symbol, and you might even write it out on a sticky note or put something on the wall or the mirror that can remind you of that. Because it's easy to forget. The world is it's programmed to keep us forgetting. So when we can remind ourselves, it's helpful. Just a few little things to make sure everybody's aware of. The next Living Oneness gathering, the next live Living Oneness gathering will be on Tuesday, July 23rd. So I'm going to be away next week. So the next one will be on Tuesday, July 23rd at 10. And then August 1st will be the live experience with the intuitive readings. That's on a Thursday. And then I don't have the dates for August yet, but you can watch, you can put those in your calendar so you've got them in place. You can also go to the replay page which also has that information of what's coming. And then for those of you that are interested or wanted to know more information about the Healer's Toolbox, I have it. It's still on for 75% off. Founding member levels are available for the membership. That is available till the September 21st. I just put a deadline, a timeline on that. So if you want to jump in and receive the founding member special for the Healer's Toolbox, it has more than 250 different tools, meditations, lessons, everything you can imagine you would need. And I'm adding more every month. I'm also doing a live spiritual mentoring Q&A call as a bonus for those that are signed up or are part of the membership. And the Healer's Toolbox right now is an extraordinary value. It's 75% off and it's only $11 per month or $111 per year. So if you feel inspired to receive support and to be able to go in, reach in and grab what you need in the way of tools or meditations or lessons, the Healer's Toolbox is a great way to do that. It's an accumulation of my work over the last 30 plus years, and I'm adding more and more as we go along. So it's a real source of what's currently going on too. So it's been a work in progress for me to build it out, but it feels really good to be able to share it at such an affordable level. So I invite those of you that are interested, you can go to heartledliving.com/toolbox and you'll find it, the information there. So I'm just going to read a few comments because I just want to acknowledge those that did share. Beth is feeling open and in gratitude. Susanna, I just feel love, warm love, beautiful. Marilyn is feeling peace and calm. Julie's gratitude. And oh, this is always. See this here. Deborah, thank you. This is so beautiful. There's another one. Gratitude, remembering to flow through the bumps. Yes, very much so. Grounding and centering. Thank you, Andrea. In reverence, Larry. Beautiful. Thank you for all of you for showing up, remembering that you are contributing to the healing of the whole by all of us gathering together. We are actually creating a morphic field, a new morphic field, an expanded morphic field, a new way of being in the world and showing up in the world. And that has a powerful impact, more than you realize. And the good news is, we don't need everyone in the world to align with this new energy. But if we can create a tipping point, we don't need that much. So maybe, like say 10%, 10 to 30% of the population, if we could align and influence 10 to 30%, then that will actually create a tipping point because the environment around us, remember we talked about that in the beginning, the energy that we are holding has an impact. Even if we don't go into a room, even if we don't have direct contact with people at that time, in that moment, it's having an effect. So recognize that your presence is healing. It's enough to spark a remembrance in someone else. So the more you remember the truth of who you are, the more you remind others just by your presence, directly and indirectly as well, has a powerful impact. So thank you all for being here. I appreciate you. I honor you. I see you, and I'm grateful. Until next time, love and blessings.